بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، we are looking at the purpose of ibadat, and we looked at salah and we looked at saum and fasting, and we said that the purpose of salah is to separate us from fahushat wal munkarat, which means everything which is all shameful deeds and all forms of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the salah is not doing that, we have to be concerned about that, improve the salah, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ensure that our act is cleaned up. The purpose of fasting is to develop taqwa. Again, we need to look at ourselves and say, after fasting, has my taqwa improved or not? And the sign of taqwa is to avoid the doubtful. Taqwa is avoiding the doubtful. It's not avoiding haram. Avoiding haram is a boundary condition. It's not a sign of taqwa. Taqwa is more than a boundary condition. It's far more than a boundary condition. Taqwa is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made as the condition for all His promises. Hudallil muttaqeen. Hidayat is for the muttaqeen. So therefore, taqwa is to avoid doubtful things. I don't know whether this is halal or haram, I leave it. I don't play games with it. I don't indulge in it. If there is any doubt, whatever the situation might be, whether it is what we eat, how we earn, where we spend our time, where we go, who we are with, if there is any doubt about whether or not this displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the muttaqi is the one who leaves it. So with fasting, this should improve, because that's the whole purpose of fasting. In fasting, you are staying away from things which are normally halal. The purpose of fasting is what? To drive this message inside, that during a fast, we stay away from things which are normally halal. Not the haram. It's halal to eat halal food during the day, so what's wrong with that? But we're not doing that because Allah said, during this period, you should not do that. So we stay away from things which are normally halal, the purpose being to drive home for us the importance of staying away from things which are haram. Because why are you staying away from things which are halal? Because Allah said so. There's no other reason. Because Allah said so. If anyone has any other reason, then his fast is meaningless. It's not a fast. He's doing it for something else. Right? إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. To do the fasting for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah said, أَصَوْمُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Allah said, the fast is for me and I will reward it. So therefore, why are we fasting? Because Allah said so. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we are fasting because Allah said so, then how can we do something which Allah prohibited? This is the whole point of fasting. In a fast, you are staying away from something which is halal. Then when you are not fasting, how can you have something else in your life which is haram? How can you have interest-based dealings, for example? And I'm mentioning that specifically because today we will talk about zakat. How can you have a haram income? And please don't get misled by anybody who tells you that a certain amount of haram is permissible in your halal income. Whoever is saying that is fooling himself and is fooling you, and on the day of judgment, he will find out and you will find out. And I've given this example any number of times. It's a dirty example, but to understand, some people need dirty examples. If the percentage of haram that this mufti is allowing you, and I've seen fatwas allowing 15%, allowing 30%, 35%. If I put 15% of urine in a glass of water, clean water, and give you, will you drink it? If I put nothing, and I simply tell you that in this glass of water, there is one drop of urine. One drop, I'm not talking about 15%. One drop may not even register in terms of percentages. And I'm only telling you this. I'm just fooling you. I'm just telling you. I have not put it. I just put the doubt in your mind. This is the meaning of taqwa. Understand this. I have not put it. I said, maybe there is.
maybe there is might be a drop of urine in this glass. I don't even say that. I say maybe the person who brought this glass, I just saw him come out of the toilet. Maybe he didn't wash his hand. Maybe. We don't know this. I mean, he may have washed his hand. He may have had a bath. God knows. I'm saying I just saw him come out of the toilet. And this fellow brought the glass of water to you. His finger seems to have touched it. Maybe he didn't wash his hand. Will you drink it? This is taqwa. Not taqwa in the actual sense of taqwa, but I'm saying the question or the example of avoiding the doubtful. This is an example of avoiding the doubtful. Now take this and apply it to the issue of halal and haram. When it comes to putting something physically, you know, which you think is harmful to you, won't even take a chance. You won't even go near it. Even if somebody says, maybe, no, if it is maybe, then leave it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to die, right? If I don't have a glass of water now, I will not die. Don't worry. It's okay. I will drink some other thing. But when it comes to income, 15%, 20%, inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Please understand, fatwa does not change the hukum. A fatwa is a legal opinion. When you have scholars for dollars, you get fatwas of all kinds. Fatwa does not change the legal opinion, does not change the hukum, the law is the law. Take the example of if you go to a lawyer to ask about a legal ruling, right? Or you go to a chartered accountant and you say, this is my earning for the year, am I liable for tax? And the accountant tells you, no problem, you don't have to pay tax. You don't pay tax. Then you get an income tax notice. You go to the income tax officer, you say, I'm sorry, I'm not at fault. My accountant told me I don't have to pay tax. Here is my accountant's fatwa. Here is his written legal opinion. He said you are not liable for tax. What is the officer going to tell you? He will tell you your accountant is a fool and you are a bigger fool. It does not save you from this tax. You pay the tax now with a penalty because you should have paid it earlier. Otherwise, go sit inside. Same principle applies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, we come to the third ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خُزْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُتَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Talking about zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Tawbah, Allah said, take this zakat, take this sadaqah from their wealth. Khuz in Arabic means to grab like this. So means including forcibly. If he doesn't give, because you are the hakim, you are the ruler, take, compel them to give. If they don't want to give, willingly. Khuz min amwalihim sadaqatan tutahhiruhum wa tuzakkihim biha. Allah says, take this wealth. For what? To purify them? Now, two words. Tahara and Tazkiya. Both are mentioned. So, it means purification of the person and purification of the wealth. So, the English translation, they say to purify them and sanctify them. I don't think the word sanctify really conveys the meaning. But anyway, wallah halam. So, the point is that Allah is saying, this purpose of taking zakat is what? Is to purify the wealth. One might say, well, no, my wealth is because I'm giving this much, my wealth is purified. But point is, how do you get purified? To the hero home, Allah said to purify them. How do I get purified by giving charity? It is the purification of the heart. It is the love for money that is coming out. Now you might say, well, you know, zakat is only 2.5%, right? In some other cases, as far as agricultural income and so on, that's a different issue. But I'm saying that if you take the normal zakat, say it's only 2.5%, you know, it's not a big thing. But believe me, if you have enough wealth, that 2.5% can become a big thing. Because if you take the absolute amount, that 2.5% becomes a big thing. And then, you start feeling bad about giving it. Then you are not looking at 2.5%. You are looking at this is 1 million, this is 10 million, this is 1 lakh, this is 1 crore. 1 crore I have to give. Somebody says, but 1 crore is only 2.5% of your wealth. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave you so much that you have kept this wealth, it is sitting there for 1 year, and on this you are only giving 2.5%. It is only 2.5%. He said, no, that's true, but you know, it's 1 crore. This happens. Believe me, it happens. It not only happens, it happened at the time of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this group of people, the Sahaba, as an example for all of us. And there are examples. There was one Sahabi who came to Rasulullah and he said, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua for me that I should become wealthy. So Rasulullah said, don't ask for this dua. Now, many people say, oh, kya hota sahab? Halal hi mange na. To kya unho haram mange the, sabhi? See, there are things. Alhamdulillah, something is halal. But even in some halal things, there are dangers. Because you have wealth, doors open for you which otherwise would not have opened. For example, israf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the people who do israf, ikhwanu shayateen. Now, what is a bigger insult than that? Allah said they are the brothers of shaitan. What is a bigger insult than this? And unfortunately, our ghirat has gone, to zero. So, we never get insulted. Anybody can say anything you want. Jo gali dena hai, hamara farak nahi padta. Puri ghirat bar gayi, kya hota? What is a bigger insult than Allah calling you a brother of shaitan? Tell me. Who did Allah say, call this? Innal mubazzirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. Verily, the people who are the spendthrifts, who are the musrifun, who are doing israf, Allah said, they are the brothers of shaitan. Now, which is a bigger insult? If you are a brother of shaitan, where do you think you're going to go? In Jannatul Firdausul Ala? Now, who can do israf? The one who has got wealth. The fellow is scrounging for his bread. He doesn't have anything extra. I mean, he can wish for it. And that also is a source of trouble. That's a different hadith. But the point I'm saying is that the one who has wealth. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahabi, don't ask for wealth. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, please make dua and so on. He begged and pleaded. So, after a couple of days, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ya Allah, give him wealth. Now, he was a shepherd. So, he had, sheep and cattle and so on. Now, they started increasing. So, he used to live in a house close to Masjid Nabawi. He used to pray all salah behind Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, these flocks became big. So, he couldn't stay there anymore. So, he had to go out of Medina. So, he had to go quite a distance out. And then he had to buy some land. He had the money. So, he bought some land and pastures and this and that. And he had, God knows, hundreds and thousands of sheep and camel and whatnot. So he disappeared from Masjid Nabawi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked people, where is this man? They said, Ya Rasulullah, he's gone. Now he's living in his farmhouse in Vikarabad. Huh? So he said he's living in that place outside Medina because of this flux. He can't stay in the city. So therefore, he is not coming to the masjid. Then the year came, time for zakat. So when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's zakat collectors went to him and they estimated his flocks and so on and so on, and they said, this is how much you have to give. The man said, so much I have to give? He said, this is the calculation. He said, no, but I worked so hard and it's all my effort, and because of all my effort, all of this has happened and so on and so on, and this is too much. I can't give. So the zakat collectors of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they turned around and they came back. So they came back and reported, they say, Ya Rasulullah, this person has refused to give zakat. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say anything. He kept quiet. He didn't say anything. He didn't send them back. He didn't send some army to that. Nothing. He just kept quiet. Now this man, after the zakat people left, he suddenly realized that I have done something very bad. I should not have done this. I should not have refused zakat. So next morning, he collected whatever he had to give and he brought it to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah and His Nabi do not need your wealth, go away. He refused to take it. Following year, before this man could come with the zakat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. This man brought the zakat to Abu Bakr Siddiq. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, "That which the Nabi did not take, I will not take." He said, "Go." That man died without paying zakat. He could not pay zakat. This is a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah forgive him. May Allah give him Jannah. I am saying this is only for us to learn a lesson that nobody is exempt. And if you think that, you know, oh, but you see small amount, not small amount, love for money is so severe that it's not a matter of small and big. That is the purification. Allah says, purify them, because this love, this filth in the heart has to get out. Because you have money, you do israf. You go and spend money in stuff which you cannot justify, and then what will you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and see the beauty, the mercy of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ, and make dua for them. Take this money from them, take this sadaqah from them, zakat, and وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Verily your dua is a source of sakina for them. They feel good about this, it gives them sukoon. Wallahu Sami'un Alim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all hearer and the all knower. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning the issue of zakat. So my point is that the purpose of the ibadah is something else. So therefore, when we are paying zakat, let us understand, look in the heart and say, is my love for wealth being cleaned or not? And therefore, also please understand, there is no zakat on haram money. So those who are earning haram, whether it's interest-based earnings or any other earning, and if you think you are paying zakat and therefore your wealth is purified, no, sorry, it's not purified. When you say purification of wealth, it does not mean that haram will turn into halal. Purification of wealth is halal wealth itself. But the way we earn even halal wealth, maybe there is some element of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it, maybe there is something that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the purification. It's not that haram will become halal by paying zakat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, you don't go and give money, you know, to the temple to purify this and that. This is not from, you belong to Allah, your wealth also belongs to Allah, you are not giving Allah anything. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the hadith is narrated by Ibn Masud radhiyallahu anhu, that when you give sadaqah, the sadaqah falls into the hand of Allah first before it goes into the hand of the person. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah takes the sadaqah in his right hand. And then he said that then Allah increases it so that even a single date becomes the size of the Mount of Uhud. Meaning in terms of the reward, this is what Allah will give. So this is the upside of it. And the downside of it is, there is no sadaqah and there is no zakat from wealth which is haram. Please understand this. Many people have this very mistaken opinion that you can earn haram, you are doing all. But you know, I built this masjid and I gave this sadaqah. You can give anything you want as long as your wealth is haram. It is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just because your masjid is standing because you used RCC, that does not mean anything. The people praying in your masjid, alhamdulillah, good for them. But you are getting nothing from that. Please understand this. You are getting no reward from that masjid. Although the people praying in the masjid, they are getting reward because they are doing their salah. Alhamdulillah. Don't do this to yourself. Do not do this to yourself. Don't destroy yourself. Earn halal, spend halal. You can only eat what Allah has written for you. No matter how much you have, you can only eat what Allah has written for you. Nothing more. Not one grain more. Why do you want to eat haram? For what? Eat halal. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you enough and more. And He will give you with izzah, and He will give you with His rahmah, and He will reward you for this. And that is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told. Take the sadaqah, pray for them. See this? I mean, why should Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give dua? But this was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way. Anyone gave anything, he would make dua for this person. Because this is the dalil. Ibn Kathir says, and I will send this tafsir also with this. He said that this is the dalil. That Allah said, Sakanullahum, it's good for them. They will get sakina in their hearts. You please salli alayhim. Make dua for them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua for the people who give. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify us and to purify our amal and to purify our wealth and to enable us to use it only and only in pleasing Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.